Sports Radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. I am Bear, alongside Marcus Young, young Marcus Young, and young Adam Hickman. He will be sitting in a vacant chair today as Russell is taking a much-needed vacation. He will be back on Monday. And we've got three big shows planned for you guys to end the week out strong. Took a little bit of time off. Celebrate the 4th of July. Happy birthday, Uncle Sam. Very restful. Marcus, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Bear. Got to catch up on some celebrating of the 4th and got to rest up a little bit.
Fireworks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What'd you shoot off?
I don't know.
Some zip zangers?
I'm going to say yes to that. My friends were the ones
ash
who
cans,
were doing it.
Ash cans, cherry bombs, M80s?
More than likely.
My fireworks days are over. How about you, Hickman?
You know, I really enjoy shooting off fireworks. My 4th of July weekend, kind of planned it pretty smart, unintentionally. Did all the cool, fun activities earlier in the weekend. That way you could kind of take it easier on the 4th. Mm. And then just kind of see a couple of close family members, couple close friends. And that way you're not dead tired for the 5th of July.
Right.
Which I think should be a national holiday because no one wants to celebrate all day and then have to instantly go back to work the next day.
It is at Fan Run.
But yeah, at Fan Run it is, but
apparently Talk Sports didn't get the memo.
Nah, they were in here yesterday, actually.
Or overtime. So, but not a big deal. My fireworks days are over after a middle of the night trip to the emergency room years and years ago. After almost blowing my hand off.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And
you pulled a JPP.
No. Had a fast fuse. It jumped.
Oh.
I was going to throw a, what are those things called?
I know what you're talking about.
They look like firecrackers, but they make that noise.
Come on, Marcus.
Butterflies.
You're asking the wrong person.
You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
And they spin up in the air. Had a whole pack of those go off in my hand. Wasn't the brightest thing I've ever done. And then there was another incident where my younger brother accidentally lit off 3 bags of fireworks on our porch and triggered a pretty bad PTSD episode from a combat veteran dad. We didn't see him for about a week. So all the noise and excitement, but had a good time. I watched a lot of TV.
What'd you watch?
Just relaxed. My son talked me into watching. There's a show on Amazon called The Boys.
Oh yeah.
Do you watch it?
Yes, I do.
That's insane, man.
It is a intense TV show.
Like he had to really talk me into it, but so we started it yesterday, and I'm already through season 1 now. I stayed up like half the night.
So you're into it.
Oh, yeah. But anyhow, enough of that. Let's just jump right into it. Shockwaves are still reverberating around the college football world as USC and UCLA have triggered another round of conference realignment. And pretty much, Adam, everybody's gone completely nuts now.
Yeah, college football is about to change forever. And it'll be hardly recognizable here in a year or two, I have a feeling, which, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I don't really know how to feel about it. I hate change. So obviously, you know, anything big that happens is going to kind of take some time for me to get used to. And everybody is out there throwing their proposals for how to handle the conferences, what team should go where. And I don't think there's a good answer. I've found one that I've actually kind of started to warm up to. We can go over that here in a little bit, Bear. But
yeah, we'll get back into it. I guess the overriding thing to me is it's completely there's so many different levels of screwed upness to it. But I mean, you've got you've got West Coast teams now that are going to be playing East Coast teams. So with USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten, you've got obviously the Big 12 is scrambling. And according to a report from Dennis Dodd with CBS Sports, the Big 12 is in deep discussions to add up to six Pac-12 teams after USC and UCLA defected to the Big Ten. Let's see. They're starting with already talking to Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. They were mentioned specifically as teams being targeted by the Big 12. There's also apparently the Big 12 is considering adding Oregon and Washington to make the Big 12 an 18-team league, the largest in the in college football. Apparently, a merger of the Big 12 and Pac-12 in some form is also a possibility. That would make sense. I still don't think, even if they combine, that they're going to have anywhere near the draw that the Big Ten or the SEC. And I guess what concerns me now is I feel like we're probably going to see the SEC make another big move soon to try and get in front of the Big Ten. The Big Ten's, you know, obviously want to get Notre Dame. That seems to be the hot topic over the weekend. Where is Notre Dame going to end up? They are apparently contractually obligated if they do join a conference. There was an agreement when they associated with the ACC that if they did join a conference, it would be the ACC, although the Big Ten makes much more sense, except for the whole, you know, Notre Dame does carry a grudge with Michigan specifically, but the Big Ten overall. So it'll be really interesting to see how this all plays out over the coming weeks and months. So who knows what's going to happen?
Well, the unfortunate thing with what makes sense doesn't seem to matter anymore since we have two Californian teams playing in the Big Ten. But I'd be okay if Notre Dame joined. I wouldn't mind us trying to poach a couple ACC teams like Clemson or Florida State, some programs that have who are doing well like Clemson or teams that have the history like Florida State. Hey, I wouldn't mind adding those guys into the mix of the SEC if that's what we wanted to do. I think it's going to come down to two mega conferences. I think it's going to be Big Ten and SEC, and you're going to see like maybe 20-plus teams in each conference. I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know. After, you know, we can go ahead and kind of talk about it now. Adam had referenced something in, you know, the four.
Yeah, Power Four.
The Power setup. Four setup.
So you would have.
This is the one that interests me, and this is the one that, out of all this stuff, this actually probably makes the most sense.
So some of the rules that the Power Four setup would go by is all current Power Five teams must keep their seat at the table, all Power Conference teams from the same state must be in the same conference, and then all conference members must be located in contiguous states. So they break it down to the Western Conference, Central Conference, Northeastern, and then the Southeastern Conference.
So basically what they'd be doing is it would basically save the PAC, whatever you want to number it.
Yeah.
The Big 12 and the Big 10, I imagine, would be the Central.
And so, but like the Western Conference, you'd have Arizona, Arizona State, San Diego State, USC, UCLA, Cal, Stanford, Oregon State, Oregon, Washington State, Washington, Boise State, BYU, Utah, Colorado, Kansas, Kansas State, and Nebraska. That would be your Western Conference. And then here's what kind of threw me for a loop.
So how many teams are in each conference?
Looks like 20. 20 is – looks like there's 20 here
so
in the Western.
So we're taking 80 FBS schools.
And then Tennessee would be in the Central Conference if you did it based on this alignment with Texas, Texas A&M, Tech, Houston, Baylor, TCU, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Vandy, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Missouri, Iowa, Iowa State, and Minnesota. that would be your central conference.
I don't like that.
I mean, that's kind of what I thought it too, but I mean, just if you look at how well this plays in the favor for us, I don't think that's too daunting of a task to have to deal with for your conference.
Well, see, the problem is going to be is there's going to be people that don't want to leave the SEC. So who would be in the Northeast?
Northeast, you have Wisconsin, Michigan, Michigan State, Illinois, Northwestern, Indiana, Notre Dame, Purdue, Ohio State, Cincinnati, West Virginia, Pitt, Penn State, Rutgers, Syracuse, Boston College, Kentucky, and Louisville.
And then in the Southeast?
Southeast would be Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Florida State, Miami, Central Florida, Georgia and Georgia Tech, Clemson, South and North Carolina, North Carolina State, Duke, Wake Forest, Appalachian State, Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Maryland.
Appalachian State? How would they sneak in there?
I mean, if you just look at non-Power 5 teams who have been pretty respectable programs over the last decade, Appalachian State definitely falls into that category. Like, I kind of agree with UCF getting thrown in there, and they had Boise State in the Western Conference, which I think Boise State deserves a lot of respect and a lot of credit, and I think they just this way, you know, you give teams like that the potential to maybe eventually play for a national championship.
I doubt very seriously that I can't see that getting all these schools to agree to all that. But I mean, who knows? I mean, I really did not think that USC and UCLA were going to jump to the Big Ten. With that being said, I think it's going to come sooner rather than later. Like, I think before 2025, they're going to have to do something. Because if you look at the Big 12, the way they're staggering it in, I think every year they're going to have a different conference lineup as new teams come in and exit.
I mean, the Pac-12 and the Big 12, they have to team up. Like, I don't think there's another option. I know there have been reports that the Pac-12's been talking to the ACC. I don't think the ACC right now at the current moment needs as much help as the other two conferences. So geographically speaking and all things considered, you got to go with a Pac-12, Big 12 alliance here at the current moment right now.
Yeah, I just wonder – I wonder if the SEC is going to pick off
– some remaining Big 12 teams?
No. I think the SEC is going to go after the – they're going to go after the big guns in the ACC. Clemson, Florida State, Miami.
So there's been talk of that. I mean, it's just all speculation, but it would make sense.
Let's see, Florida State, Miami, Clemson, Virginia Tech, possibly. I mean, in any more, I don't think it's so much about TV and footprints as more just the school itself and whether or not they're going to take the best brands they can.
Would you go after, like, North Carolina or Duke just because of the basketball brands?
I would go after North Carolina simply because their football program is decent.
It's respectable.
Yeah, and they've got basketball. But, I mean, even basketball at North Carolina makes, like, I think I saw it over the weekend, like one-third the revenue that football does. So, I mean, make no mistake, football's king.
Sure. No, I agree.
That's the moneymaker. There was a – and we'll talk about it coming up here in the next segment. There was a big article out of the LA Times that UCLA was kind of pressured into having to join the Big Ten because they claimed that they were, due to budget shortfalls, were getting ready to have to cut a ton of Olympic sports, which are your non-revenue sports, you know, soccer.
But that's still a school that's pretty well known for that kind of stuff. I know they're not revenue sports, but UCLA has a really good track record.
Yeah, long history of that. So I'm still a little bit surprised that it caught everybody by surprise that UCLA and USC made this move. So But we'll be definitely talking about that. We've got a ton to get to today. It's going to be wide open on the phone lines, 865-546-8200. Let's go ahead and get them stacked up now. And then we will go to the phones when we get back. You're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into The Drive. Let's go ahead and go to the G3 Help Me hotline and get Chris in here. Chris, how are you, sir?
Yeah, it kind of stinks losing out on Maui Goa, but, you know, without the NIL billionaire booster, Miami doesn't have NIL. They got a billionaire rogue booster who's under FBI investigation for business stuff and a few other things.
Well, I mean, I'm not putting we hadn't really gotten into that yet. It was a big recruiting weekend. Tennessee went 2 for 3. We got a 4-star defensive back, Christian Conyer, class of 2023, out of Kentucky, who Kentucky really wanted and made, apparently had a huge NIL package, but he stuck with Tennessee. And then we also got a commitment from class of 2024, 5-star tight end Jonathan Echols out of IMG. And then we did lose, I think, 4-star offensive lineman Francis.
5-star.
Is he a 5-star?
Yeah, he was a 5-star.
I've seen 4 and 5. Hey, regardless, he was a big recruit.
Yeah.
And we lost him to Miami. I'm not going to put it all on NIL. He's apparently got a lot of ties to the staff. I cannot remember the fella's name off the top of my head. His offensive line coach knows his family, and or I've been told may even be related to him. It's also, when this guy was at South Carolina, was the first guy to offer Francis.
So, and he had connections with Cristobal because he was – predicted they all go to Oregon until Cristobal and all them left. So, I mean, he had a long relationship with them, but I think the booster put him over the top. But
I mean, it may have, but everybody better get used to it with, you know, I kept an eye on Cristobal for a while now. He is a recruiting madman.
Oh, well, I'm glad he's down there, and I hope this booster keeps just handing out money because it hurts Florida and Georgia way more than us because they're the ones that are trying to get those kids. Tennessee hardly ever dips into that pool.
Well, I mean, until conference realignment gets completely crazy and suddenly Miami's in the Southeastern Conference. So,
well, yeah, that'd be different.
I mean, Mario Cristobal is going to be a problem, Chris.
Oh, yeah. But tomorrow we get the Cam Seldon. Cristobal's rolled in today for him. So I don't know. He's basically a 5-star on 247, but a high 4-star composite. Absolutely electric with the ball in his hands.
Even the Penn State guys are starting to –
yeah,
the Penn State Riders, they know it's over for them, that he's all Vol.
And then Jaden Smith, 4-star linebacker Sunday. But the big news, in the last 20 minutes, Cristobal's been rolling in for Sham Umaroff, the 4-star pure left tackle for Tennessee. He announces on Friday. So you get those guys, but 3 4-stars and one could end up being a 5-star. That's a pretty good after losing Al Francis, like you said. Plus you got Weathersby, Conyer, and then Echols for the 2024 class, so – not all doom and gloom. You lose one guy, but that's a heck of a pickup after them with Conyers, Echols, and then the 3 that are popping in the next 4 days, all of whom are Cristobal'd heavily to Tennessee.
Absolutely. Now, we've got a long way to go with Echols. He's a 2024 kid, but
right.
Hopefully
looks
this
good
year.
On paper, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's prototype tight end playmaker. So,
I mean, obviously, it gets some of the 2024 kids. Hey, what's going on here? Why is this guy wanting to go there? He's top athlete in the country, you know. Puts Tennessee's thought in their head. So, all right, y'all have a good show.
All righty. Yeah, I mean, everybody seemed to get really – I know everybody was disappointed with – how do you say his last name?
Maui Goa.
I wasn't as upset.
I was for like 5 minutes. Then you get Echols and things kind of calm down.
Yeah, I mean, it's one player. I saw a lot of stuff online, on social media, the boards, people really upset about it. And they aren't taking into account that, you know, we still got Nico, Ayama Pajama coming in.
And everybody kind of, you know, just throwing out like the whole Nico effect thing, and so I get it. You know, I understand why you might think that, but you know, you don't even get Francis on campus if it's not for Nico. You don't have a shot without Nico, and the fact that you were in it until the last minute, I think that says a lot about Nico and his ability to help recruit for Tennessee and just how much he loves this place. The fact that you could get a guy as talented as Francis to come here on some visits and seriously consider you down to the last minute.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, it's not like he signed yesterday.
Yeah, I
mean, he just committed.
Which, that's a long time, you know.
A long time in December. We'll see how it goes.
Unless he's locked into a contract down there regarding NIL, anything can happen up until you see the ink on the paper.
Yeah, now that will be interesting to watch going forward. How, you know, if once a kid commits and gets an NIL deal, if that takes away some of the flipping, the last minute flips on signing day. So, well, let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines, where we have the mayor of Sono, Phil. What do you say, Philly?
What do you say, bro?
Not much, man. Just kicking it.
Did you have a good 4th of July?
Yeah, I got to hang out with my son, and we had a relaxing weekend. I hadn't gotten to see him a whole lot in the past year, you know, with me being in quarantine and stuff. So we had a nice, really long, good visit. So it was a lot of fun. Much needed.
How's Hickman and Marcus now?
I'm doing good, Philly.
I can't complain. Not yet, Phil.
That's good. Hickman, are you going to have a Billy Williford on when the Brain Trust takes a vacation on the morning show?
You know, I'm pushing for him to come in on a Friday with me, Philly.
Wow.
You know how he is, though. He's being a little dramatic about it. And
not Williford.
Yeah, totally out of character for him. But regardless,
I'll be calling and praising him if he gets on there. I'll tell him that.
You a big Billy Williford fan, Phil?
Yeah, I like Billy Williford. He's a basketball guy. Anybody likes basketball, I can give a conversation to him.
I like basketball.
Billy's a deep diver when it comes to that stuff, though.
Yeah, I got it in my blood, you know what I'm saying?
I'm mad.
That's pretty cool. W taking her vacation. He takes more vacation than the president does, don't he? Pretty cool.
He needs some rest, man.
Oh, that's funny. Got to have a good laugh, you know. All the recruiting, it 4 million is the reason why they didn't get that tackle that Miami got. That's $4 million. That's we wasn't going to match that.
I mean, we may not have had enough, you know.
I think we had enough.
From the sounds of it, though, Philly, I mean, just from what I've read some places, it sounds like Tennessee was actually his favorite school. But when you're asking the kid to take a million-plus dollar pay cut, you know, it doesn't matter how much he loves the university and the coaching staff. $1 million is $1 million. And if you have a chance to take more, you know, who can blame the kid, really?
Yeah, I'd say the family had more to do it than he did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you look at it, if we're going to recruit players like that, those Polynesian-type players, they're going to have to get somebody over on their staff that's real good at recruiting those type of players.
Yeah, I agree. I will say, though, it was nice to get Eccles immediately after, another IMG kid, because you strike out on all these IMG kids. At some point, you have to face facts, and that the Brian Niedermauer down there actively recruiting against you would, you know, like at that point, you can't deny it at that point if you miss out on three guys.
Yeah. I do like this kid from Virginia. He's got the potential to be the best offensive skill person we've got since Kamara.
Let's just hope we use him right.
I hope we do too.
Phil,
he can play running back and wide receiver, right?
I got a feeling. Could you imagine Heupel if he had had Kamara?
Oh, yeah. Every record shattered.
He'd make – what about Darkdauber play for Heupel?
He probably would have been a dark horse Heisman Trophy candidate and probably would have been drafted a lot higher and been developed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the biggest what ifs. What if we had had, you know, just average quarterback development, or, you know, elite like we've historically had here at Tennessee over the years, Phil? Can you imagine what Cutcliffe could have done with Dauber?
Dauber's a good player. He could have been a great receiver too. I think he could have been an all American receiver.
Well, he may end up being the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback this year. The rate they're going up there.
Is that what the last caller's implying about the Jimmy Coach and Storks not getting money for recruiting anymore? Is that what he's talking about?
I didn't catch that. I think our NIL thing is completely fine. I think there's going to be certain kids that they're going to make decisions on whether or not, you know, it's going to come down to numbers and the risk, and whether or not they're willing to bring, you know, they're going to have to be convinced before they bring somebody in on a big time 7-figure NIL package.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to waste money, that's for sure. You got to be smart about it. I agree with you on that.
So
they need to, looks like they're doing a better job on recruiting on the defensive side, which I kind of like. They need to get the defense. It's got to be improved immensely.
I mean, it does, but with the way we can put up points, if we just get an average to even above average defense, we're going to win a ton of football games as long as Heupel has this high-powered offense. I mean, think if we had had just an average SEC defense last year, we would have won 10 or 11 games.
Yeah, but third and long was our Achilles heel last year. We could not stop or keep a team off the field in third and long. The whole year long, we got burned.
Well, yeah.
Third and a mile, the Tulsa team got it.
Our defense last year was completely gutted after the Gump regime left town. You know, we had everybody transfer. We lost our two best linebackers. We lost our best DB. I mean, we were, you know.
I mean, you name it. We lost, 32 guys off that roster? So.
Yeah. I mean, our best defensive players. So I thought they did a remarkable job last year, Phil. I really do.
Well,
yeah,
this is year two. It's time to do a better, remarkable job than going waste 8-4 or 9-3.
Yeah, and I've got every confidence that we're going to be an 8-4, 9-3 football team this fall.
And the Pitt and Florida game are the two most important games on our schedule.
Yeah, I am concerned. Everybody seems to be picking a lot of the in the know guys are saying Pitt's going to be pretty stout this year. Now,
yeah, I heard that, Byron. That's interesting.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm not buying the hype on that one.
I mean, their defense should be strong. They got one of the best D lines coming back in the country, but there's a huge drop off from the kid they had. What was it, Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett to Caden Slovis.
Yeah, kind of hard to replace Pickett, you know what?
Yeah, I mean he was you know, he's got a really good shot at playing in the NFL.
All I'm saying is, though, in their spring game this year, Slovis led the starting offense to a whopping 0 points in the third quarter with one pick.
That's a spring game, though.
One more thing. Is Jake the Snake going to be on tonight?
Yes. There will be an overtime tonight, correct?
Yes.
All right, cool. Well, I guess I can call in again then, kind of. See you.
I reckon you can, Phil.
Always good hearing from Philly.
See, the other thing, too, is it's not just replacing Pickett. You're replacing the best receiver that was in college football last year in Addison. Yeah, you're not only trying to replicate what Pickett was able to do, but you're trying to do that with the number one target who is now playing for USC.
Yeah, but then you factor in they do, you know, it's Narduzzi. He did lose, his offensive coordinator, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He lost his offensive coordinator.
I think they 20-something guys off that roster from last year. I don't know how much you guys buy in the simulations, but me and Jake actually watched one.
None at all.
I mean, I don't either. It's fun to think about, though, but Tennessee actually held on to a late fourth quarter comeback from Pitt 1-3. So
interesting.
I don't know if you buy into that. We were up 17 going into the fourth, and then in typical Tennessee fashion, we had to had to make it close there down the stretch. So
sounds about right.
We'll see. I think that's an easy win. I'm not high on them whatsoever.
Who?
Pitt.
Pitt. I'm not either, but, I mean, it's a game up there. And, I mean, it's going to be a tough game. Narduzzi's a good coach. So, all right, let's go ahead and take our final break of hour number one. And then we will be right back to finish out hour number one on The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
I can win up to $1,000 in cash value?
That's right. If you use your Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union Visa Platinum...
Cruising right along here. Hour number three. I was trying to get
fast show
of
today,
myself.
Huh?
You're trying to get out of here.
Hour number three. No, it is last segment, hour number one. Phone lines are popping today. G3 Help Me Hotline.
It's kind of interesting, you know, with Russ not being here.
Yeah.
Do they just not want to talk to him?
I don't know. We'll have to bring that up with Russ. So. I mean, it's rare. That, I mean, we were getting calls when I was still bringing us in at the top of the show. But let's go ahead and get my arch nemesis in here, TJ the Kentucky fan. TJ?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Russell is not here today, so stay online, man.
Hey, that's fine. I hope he's okay. Not sure where he's at, but I hope he's doing
No,
right.
he's taking a vacation, man. He's fine.
Oh, sounds good. Everybody needs one of those. I just took one last week. Man, it's hot down here today. We're going to the Fayetteville Woodpeckers game tonight, baseball game tonight. It's 112 degrees here in North Carolina, man. It is hot.
Yeah, I'm not going outside right now.
No, it's hot. But it's free tickets to a baseball game. I can't say no. Hey, you know, with all this realignment talk, I just want to see Hawaii join the ACC. How crazy would that be?
Completely insane, but I don't see them doing it. There's going to be certain teams that are – I wonder what they're going to do. Hawaii is probably number one on that list. I mean, it's just going to be incredibly hard. Although they're in what? Are they in the Mountain West?
Is that the name?
I mean, I doubt any of those teams are going to get picked to jump up into any of the super conferences. So it's going to be fascinating to watch to see, because I think there are going to be some schools that have played football for a long time that it's just not going to be financially feasible for them. And I'm wondering if Hawaii is going to be one of them. I mean, they're already having problems. Their stadium is – if I'm not mistaken, unless they built a new one, is in pretty rough shape over there. So,
yeah, so I was over there for 3 years. I had season tickets. The Aloha Bowl, what they play in now, is falling apart. But they actually are making a new stadium on campus of Hawaii. It's going to be a brand-new stadium. So I think it's 2023 or 4 they're shooting for it. But you don't even see Boise State moving up to maybe – Big 12, Pac-12, if they even have a Pac-12 anymore?
Pac-12, yes.
Maybe. That's something I'm trying to get connected with Hurricane Gabriel, Christopher Gabriel. Hoping to get him hopefully Christopher will be on with us tomorrow, since he is a West Coast guy, and that's definitely something I was going to ask him about. He feels about Boise State about the same way we feel about Florida, so it should be interesting to pick his brain and see what's going to happen. Not so much with the bigger schools like your Oregons, Arizonas, Arizona States, those schools. I'm really interested to get his thoughts on what's going to happen to the schools that, like your Boise States or your Washington States or Iowa State. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with those. So,
yeah, no kidding, man. I'm afraid it's going to happen, but I'm afraid they're just going to get left out, sadly. I mean, we've seen it in the NCAA so far. Money talks, and those small schools, like you said, they ain't got much of it, if any of it. So, hey, good show. Y'all have a good one, man.
I'm surprised TJ didn't want to talk about Christian Conyers.
Might be still too painful for him right now.
Thanks for the call, though, TJ.
Yeah. They are all up in their feelings.
Yeah, they are.
Up there.
I mean, if you're taking time, we've not even mentioned this. This was the craziest thing about it. I mean, that one coach, Coach Morrow, whatever his last name is.
Morrow.
I don't know what the hell he coaches. I don't really care. It's Kentucky. They're not really relevant. This guy taking time out of his daughter's wedding day to tweet about Tennessee. Are you kidding me?
Really?
Yeah.
On the day of my daughter's wedding.
Like, dude, first of all, if I'm his daughter, I'm saying, Dad, shut the hell up. I mean, well, it's embarrassing. It's a bad look. I mean, how much real estate do we own up there in your head?
Oh, a ton. We own them in basketball.
They have the worst assistant coaches. There's always. Go ahead.
The only thing they've got, they did get us 2 out of 3 in that one baseball series.
But you know what? We got the revenge. We sent them packing. We probably cost them a chance at the NCAA tournament. So
yeah,
it worked out in the end. The better team won.
We are their daddy.
But like, yeah, it's always their assistant coaches too. Like I can respect Calipari. You know, him and Rick Barnes have a great working relationship. Both of those guys, tremendous amounts of respect for each other. But we saw it in the basketball game this year in Thompson Bowling Arena. That little short coach in the white shirt wanted to square up with Santee. We see their football coaches sub-tweeting about Tennessee players, recruits, and all that nonsense on his daughter's wedding day. It's just always something with their coaches over there. Never the head coaches, but the assistant coaches. I think it really, I think the fact that we embarrass them every year we play them in sports, I think it really gets to them.
That's something, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I can't remember a Tennessee coach ever
acknowledging them?
No, just doing something like that. Subtweeting and all that. It's just a really bad idea. And today, I mean, with the transfer portal, today's day and times, I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
Moose felt like someone who would have done that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know if he ever did. I'd have to go back.
I think he was too busy cheating his ass off to really run his mouth a lot on social media. Yeah, allegedly.
Did he delete his Twitter account?
He went private, I believe.
Oh, man.
I'd say someone from IMG probably sat him down and had a talk about starting Twitter beef. And I know it's a high school. I know it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but
it's
collegiate prep academy that is that prestigious, you know, in the football world, it's a really bad look when you have your coach, one of your coaches out here running his mouth on Twitter like he was and then blocking everybody. It's a weird move.
It's not private. And he did congratulate Jonathan Echols over his UT commitment. So I would imagine somebody sat him down, and I don't know why he's got a beef. Tennessee.
We love him. We idolize that
guy. I mean, we weren't the ones who allegedly, you know, did the stuff. I mean, it's not like he didn't get fired for cause. So I hate it for him, but I think you're exactly right, Adam. You don't want one of your assistant coaches at IMG pissing off one of the biggest football programs in the SEC.
Yeah.
Is that just, you know, you don't want bad blood with an SEC school?
No.
You don't want to do that to your kids.
Well, what I found really funny about the whole situation is, you know, we hated Jeremy Pruitt pretty much his entire season. Nobody had anything good to say. Niedermeyer, we kind of loved him the whole time he was here. You know, he recruited his tail off, legally or illegally. It doesn't matter. He recruited his tail off, and, you know, we kind of had this weird admiration for him while hating Pruitt at the same time. And now here we are, well, I guess a little over 2 years later, and here in the last couple of weeks, you know, maybe people have kind of lightened up on the Jeremy Pruitt hate after his interview. And
no.
Now people hate Niedermeyer probably more than Pruitt.
I wouldn't even say hate. It's just like, dude, come on, man.
I don't know. I hate him.
Do you?
Yeah, him and his Alabama underwear that he always wore.
I've got much more bad feelings and issues with Gump than I do Niedermeyer.
Pruitt's just an idiot. You know, sometimes it's hard to hate the idiot. You just feel sorry for him.
No, it's really not. I don't feel sorry for him a bit. had a great thing going, and he just
great he, thing going. I wouldn't call it a great thing. We went 3-7.
I mean, he was
he had a great he thing was, going. He was named head coach at Tennessee,
and he was definitely going to have at least another year at Tennessee if it wasn't for this whole thing.
You don't think he came off in that interview though as kind of a guy who knew how big of a mistake he made?
No, he came off as a guy who's trying to rehab himself, his image, so that he can hopefully, depending on you know what the NCAA says, that he could get back into college coaching, which is where he wants to be.
He'll never be a head coach again.
No, but that's not what he wants. I think if he could go back, he would gladly just stay at Alabama and be the defensive coordinator for Saban for the rest of his career.
Heck, he'd probably take the defensive back job and be happy.
I mean, at this point, what's he doing now?
Still with the Giants, right?
No, he got canned.
Yeah,
did he get canned?
So. I think he got let go along with the rest of that staff.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
I don't think he's doing anything as far as I'm aware.
Is he not coaching with his diddy down in Alabama?
I mean.
Well, if we ever need a DC, we know who to call now.
I don't know if you want to say that in front of Bear.
And the guy is a good defensive coordinator. Say what you want.
Hey, I'm willing. You know, look, we had 1 year under our defensive staff. I'm willing to give him another go-around, see what happens. I have faith that they'll get better on defense.
Tim Banks, he's a Penn State boy. He's cut out for it.
Yeah. And plus, I love Willie Martinez in the secondary. I feel good.
Coach G?
Yeah. Look, we got a good. I think we got a good staff together. I think it just needs to take a little time to get the right pieces in there for that defense.
And getting well, so they need to make a big jump this year. Needs to be a lot stouter this year.
But getting guys like Eccles and Conyer, I think that's a good start to building a good group of defensive players that they need on that team.
Everybody wants Seldon here, and you know I said it earlier. I think he is a lock to be a Vol. But at the same time, like you know, if he didn't commit, you know, out of the three guys committing this coming week, he's probably the guy you could actually afford to miss. Now, granted, I want him. I want him bad. Anybody compared to Deebo Samuel, he will always have a spot on a roster of a team I root for. But I mean, if you can get a guy like four-star outside linebacker Jalen Smith, just I think that would be, you know, even bigger because you're always going to produce talent in our offense.
Yeah, we need big time difference makers on the defensive side of the ball, linebackers, DBs,
linemen.
Yeah,
but like defensive line, that's a position group that I'm pretty confident with whoever we throw out there because that's how much faith I have in Rodney Garner out there to get those boys coached up. I don't think stars or talent level necessarily matter that much for us on the defensive front.
We didn't even talk about Weathersby.
No?
Out of Georgia. We got him. I know he's like you said, I mean, people are calling, you know, he's a 3-star, but hey, I mean, if these guys are going after him, I trust their judgment in getting the right guys in. I know we missed out on Maragoa, but I think we did. I feel really good about this little recruiting weekend.
I mean, we still have the 11th ranked recruiting class in the country. If you get Seldon, that probably puts you at 10 or 9. You get another one of those guys, you're maybe looking at 8 or 7. I mean, 2 years ago, if you'd have told me that, hey, and whoever your next head coach is, second year at UT, you're going to have a top 10 recruiting class, I'd probably say you're lying.
Coming out of what we came out of?
Yeah.
It's best case scenario. I really thought that we were going to be cratered for another 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I really did. With everything that we're facing and, you know, between the transfer portal, NIL, and the NCAA being basically, you know, neutered now, I feel like we've got a really good shot at getting back a lot quicker than I ever thought we would.
Yeah.
So got a lot to be positive about and don't want to wallow in the negativity and you know, just the sky is falling just because we lost out on one offensive lineman.
I wish him luck at Miami.
Yeah.
I that's one thing about recruiting that I've never understood about certain Vol Twitter individuals. It's not like the main people, but it's just people who just get so – just because someone chooses a different school doesn't mean you need to go after them or say anything rude. It's just these kids are making decisions that they feel is best for them. And – you know what? Good luck to them, and we'll replace them. We'll find someone that will fit the bill for us.
And don't alienate a kid who you could potentially be snagging 2 years down the line.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a big thing with this transfer portal thing.
Yeah. I mean, like with Cade Mays, like that whole thing that went down with him, like I'm surprised that he decided he wanted to
come. Would you have thought after the video of him surfaced that he would ever end up here?
Never.
Yeah, no. I thought that bridge was burnt. And
just
here he is.
Because of Cooper.
Yeah, well, that helped. But, no, I'm glad. I'm definitely glad about that.
All right. Well, hour number one is in the books. Hour number two coming up next. Young Marcus Young will be in with our top four at four. You've been listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
For over